The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Happy to be with you. Hour number two, I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin is here as well.
Hey.
It was, I'm still here. Don't worry about the pause. Don't worry about it. Come on now. I'm here.
The Jeff Parles dramatic pause.
The dramatic pause. No, I was gonna say something sly, but I decided against it. That was the main reason for that pause. But now with us, our senior NFL analyst, of course, a former first-round pick, our guy Mike Pritchard joins the show right now. Pritch, good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me. We're not going to have a Disney, are we? Yeah. Remember that movie, Broadcast? It was Broadcast News, right? We got a Disney.
Oh, man. So, Pritch, before we get to the last week's draft, you and I talked on Saturday. I didn't ask at all about this, but of course, last week, the Aaron Rodgers deal goes through, and we only waited seemingly about 14 years for that trade to get completed. And now that it's complete, and now that the Jets signed, apparently this morning they're signing Randall Cobb, because of course, why not? Just bring all of his friends from Green Bay. Just, Pritch, when you have a scenario like this, and again, I don't want to compare this to the Favre scenario. That was a lot different. That trade happened in August. Favre, I don't even think, really wanted to be in New York. Rodgers seems like he wants to be in New York. When this is all said and done, how do you think this plays out for the Jets, where it's clearly not just get back to the playoffs for the first time in over a decade, actually do something when you get there now?
Yeah, I mean, it's important because, Jeff, I mean, the Jets are all in. They've indicated that there was no plan B. It was all going to be about Aaron Rodgers. It was just, okay, the sense of urgency being created because the draft was right around the corner. We got to get a deal done. And Green Bay was fortunate to get that conditional first-round pick in the 2024 situation with that draft. If Rodgers plays over, 65% of the plays, which he's going to do. But to the Jets, they're no different than Tampa, all in with Tom Brady, or Matthew Stafford, all in, with the Rams that way. So the Jets are all in. I think they have a playoff caliber defense. You have a motivated Aaron Rodgers. Think about this. Last year, Aaron Rodgers was not motivated. He didn't show up for anything. He wasn't putting in work at all. In fact, he was highly critical to his teammates, right? Throwing them under the bus. You know, they got to learn. They got to do this. And I think everything is in the favor for Aaron Rodgers to be successful in New York with the Jets, unlike with Brett, because you're right. Brett just wanted out of Green Bay. I know Aaron Rodgers wanted out of Green Bay. He was supposed to be a Bronco. That didn't happen. But now he follows Hackett to the Jets, right? And he's got some pals with him. So as long as Aaron Rodgers feels confident and feels like he has a legitimate chance of winning a championship or Super Bowl, as a bettor, I'm willing to back that, because that guy is an amazing, amazing quarterback.
Pritch, just looking at the AFC as a whole, and I want to ask you about Lamar Jackson in a second, but I want to do this first. The quarterbacks that are in this conference in comparison to what the NFC is. The NFC is Jalen Hurts, and I said earlier in the show to Kelly, because apparently Jared Goff's agent is trying to get an extension for him in Detroit, and I said, hey, that's the second-best quarterback in the NFC, and Kelly had to think, oh, he's not really kidding. That actually might be the case. In the AFC, it's Allen, it's Tua, it's Rodgers now, it's Burrow, it's Lamar, it's Pickett, who could very well be very good after showing some good stuff down the stretch. It's Deshaun Watson. It's Trevor Lawrence. It's the two rookies that were picked this year in Richardson and Stroud. It's Mahomes. It's Herbert. It's Russell Wilson if he recaptures himself. Pritch, this is sick, the quarterbacking situation in the AFC. It's just ridiculous, where there is a legitimate argument to be made that 10 of the 12 best quarterbacks in the NFL are all in the same conference.
Yeah, you're right. And you wonder if that could cancel each other out. I mean, I don't know if it's going to play out that way, Jeff, because when I was in the league, it was more balanced. But in the AFC, we had Elway, we had Moon, we had Marino, we had Kelly. We had these are all Hall of Famers, right? And then in the NFC, you had Aikman, you had Young, you had Montana. Montana then goes to the AFC with the Chiefs. So I hear what you're saying. I mean, look at the number of first rounders just in the AFC, right? I think there's just three non-first round quarterbacks that are projected to be starters inside that conference. Now, on the other side, the NFC, certainly there's more mid-round draft choices and not a lack of, there's a lack of first rounders. But I don't know. I don't know if it's going to cancel each other out. I lean on the intangibles. I lean on continuity. I lean on the relationship between play caller and quarterback. I lean on roster. You know, I lean on the fact that teams can get better, or the younger teams will get better through the course of the year, through the course of the season. So the quarterbacks are the headliners. They are. They really are. They drive it. They move the needle. But, you know, from my experience, when, you know, the league was loaded with Hall of Fame quarterbacks or really good quarterbacks when I was playing, that seems to have canceled each other out. I mean, you think about those great teams in the 90s. We had a few dynasties, but then you had teams kind of emerge, like the Brett Favre with the Packers, right? And, you know, certainly the Cowboys was a dynasty. The 49ers started it off, and then you had the Broncos kind of ended it off that way too. But I think, to your point, as a better, lean on those headliners in terms of quarterbacks. Follow those guys. I mean, I think they can make you some money. But when it comes to the Super Bowl, it's all those things that I mentioned earlier that you want to track all the way throughout the season.
Pritch, going back to last week, also day of the draft, Lamar Jackson gets his big-time extension, biggest contract in league history. You know, this was just another one. It just kind of felt like we were going in circles all these months. And in the end, Lamar gets the money he wanted, and Baltimore keeps their guy. To me, Pritch, more than anything, this just kind of changes the way that I have to look at the AFC North, where if Lamar was either on just the tag, maybe the motivation's either higher or lower. That's one of those that could vary. But now you're looking at a division, and you and I kind of talked about this on Saturday night. There's a case for all four of these teams to be playoff teams again in the AFC North.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, Jeff, Cincinnati, with Burrow, they are the class of the division right there. You know, I think, see, to me, Baltimore was teetering, right? I mean, they're fantastic roster, fantastic culture. Lamar gets hurt, but yet they still make the playoffs. And then, okay, you think about Lamar and, okay, could he have played? Yeah, he probably could have played, but he chose not to. He didn't know what direction they're going to go in. They're trying to piecemeal it right now, too, and appease Lamar right now, which is interesting. But I look at that defense, the turnover there. I wonder, from a continuity standpoint or a retooling standpoint, how effective that's going to be. We know from a culture division standpoint, Pittsburgh, they're not going to have a losing season. And I think Pickett is going to be fine. And I think they bolstered themselves throughout the draft, too, right? It's always a plug-and-play system out there in Pittsburgh. They find the right guys to execute the schemes that they want to execute. I think Cleveland's going to Cleveland, even with Deshaun. So really, you know, you're looking at Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, those three teams. And typically, you know, not typically, but, you know, sometimes we'll see three teams emerge from a division in terms of getting to the playoffs. The AFC is going to be so competitive. I'm so eager to see these teams fight it out, duke it out later on this year.
Pritch, going back to the draft, what team did you like their draft the best?
You know, I think the teams that build or continue to build on what they've established, like, so Seattle was a surprise team last year, but they continue to build on what they established. So I like their draft. You know, the Eagles with two first round picks, okay, they probably should get it right. I mentioned the Steelers. I think the Steelers and what they did with the personnel did a great job. I think Jacksonville, nobody's really talking about them. They rounded out their roster. They indicated to a lot of people that they're okay with their two deep, right, and their starters, and they rounded out that roster. They had to pick up an offensive lineman because of Cam Robinson and the situation right there. But other than that, you know, I think Jacksonville did a great job too. Like I said, Pittsburgh, a plug and play. And I'm looking for big things from that team this year. So Seattle, to me, did the best job, though. But Jacksonville, that's a sneaky good draft right there.
You're one of the few people that that mentioned that with the Jags, and there's their draft right on your screen if you're watching this at home. Just like you said, filling out the roster, getting more depth to that roster that, again, they are the betting favorites in the AFC South, and they should be. They should be, and they could be in for a long turn of success if Trevor Lawrence, Pritch, continues to improve, and that was a pretty significant improvement from year one to the end of year two from Lawrence last year.
Yeah, you get some structure. You get an adult in the room with Peterson instead of Urban Meyer. And now the talent, the generational talent for Trevor Lawrence. Jeff, when we were covering the league when he was a freshman, you know, you're thinking about in college football, he was going to be a first-round pick as a freshman, a first number one overall pick as a freshman. Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent, and they've surrounded him with a lot of talent and a lot of depth now. And so you got a Super Bowl caliber, a Super Bowl winning head coach. I think it's in the cards for Jacksonville to back up the season that they had last year.
Pritch, before we let you go, any drafts that didn't make much sense to you?
Packers. Packers. They stunk up the joint. I mean, come on, Packers. Gutekunst, okay, the Packers organization had over 30 years of two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And now I think LaFleur is up against it. I don't know what their draft with all these picks, what they were trying to accomplish other than selecting names at this point. But we'll see if they can put it together. They're very, very, very young and a lot of pressure on that quarterback as well.
He's Mike Pritchard, our senior NFL analyst, of course, former first round pick himself. Pritch, always a pleasure. Thanks for hopping on this morning.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great week.
Absolutely. Mike Pritchard, everyone. Coming up next, we check in with our guy, Will Hill. We have hoops and baseball. Talk with Will next here on The Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, and for just $9.99, get all access to everything we do, including our Kentucky Derby betting guide that will be released tomorrow. We have profiles on the horses, jockeys, and trainers, so you know which horses are the favorites, the sleepers, and the long shots. Plus, best bets from Dave Tooley and other VSiN experts to help you make the most of your Kentucky Derby bets. This offer won't last long, so subscribe today for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin here as well. Kelly, by the way, the Kentucky Derby Saturday, I need to get my hands on that guide because the Kentucky Derby, that first Saturday of May, is always the annual tradition of knowing I will not win money that day.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It's your annual donation to the book.
The race book right over there. Usually, that's usually what it is. I have to get my hands on that book on the betting guide, and maybe I'll actually change it into a profitable Saturday for once. Our guy Will Hill with us right now. Of course, you can find Will on the tweets at not the Will Hill. Will, I haven't talked to you in a while, buddy. How you doing?
Whose fault is that, Jeff? What's going
mine.
On, man?
It's usually
good to
mine.
See you.
That's all. If it's a question of who hasn't reached out to who, it's 99% of the time going to be on me. That's usually how that works across the board.
It's good to see you. Thanks for having me. Yeah. I agree with what Kelly was saying off the air. These shows are so much better when you're on it as opposed to Gil. So this is good. I'm enjoying the show.
I will refrain from any comments. I will plead the fifth on that one. And Kelly just laughing it away back there. Laughing it away. Hey, Will, I want to start with baseball with you because the New York teams so far this year, the Yankees are painfully average dealing with injuries, a game over 500. And the Mets are just kind of there. They're just kind of there. It's not, the pieces are there. Obviously, Scherzer getting suspended didn't help things. Verlander comes back tomorrow for his first start as a Met. What are your thoughts on what we've seen through about 30 games for both of these teams? Because, again, I think it's just injuries have destroyed the Yankees, and the Mets are just kind of plodding along.
To start with the Mets, I thought they've traded punches enough here where they got into the soft part of the schedule. I think the next 24, 25 games are all against teams with under 500 records. And that coincides with getting Scherzer back, getting Verlander back. So, look, they're not as good as the Braves. I think the Braves are probably the class of baseball. They're right there with Tampa. But look, they've survived here without their guys. It's strange to say about a team with two of the generational pitchers, two of the best pitchers of all time in Scherzer and Verlander. I just don't know if they have enough pitching. I mean, those guys are old. They're brittle. We'll see what they have when they get back on it. I mean, Scherzer, I don't think is, you know, what he used to be. He can still be a good pitcher. I don't know if he's a great pitcher. Senga looked good early on, but he's been shaky with the command. So you probably need another arm, another big-time arm. You know, you haven't got anything out of Quintana. So they'll be a playoff team. I just don't know that they have – you know, the youth and the pitching staff. And again, it's so weird to say they have Verlander and Scherzer. And this time a year ago, they had Scherzer in the ground. But I just don't know about their pitching going forward.
You know,
Yankees, on the other hand. Yeah.
Go ahead, Will. Sorry about that.
Yankees, I was looking for a price. I bet them, I think, plus 235 to miss the playoffs the other day. This is just a team outside of Judge. There's just not a lot of talent on that offense. You see some of the lineups they run out there with Willie Calhoun batting fifth and Franchy Cordero. It's a horrible lineup. I know the payroll's up there, but they haven't done a good job spending the money. Rodon, who knows when we're going to see him? He's saying his back doesn't hurt, but he doesn't feel right, whatever that means. To me, it's just a really top-heavy team with a lot of injuries. I like a little more than like plus 2-1 to miss the playoffs, but I think they're very live to miss the playoffs. It's a very average team.
The Yankees, I'll hit the Yankees real quick before we go to something else. You mentioned it. Like, just look at their lineup. They don't look like the New York Yankees, because usually even in the mediocre lineups, the names are still big. I mean, even in a win last night, I mean, like you said, it's Willie Calhoun, it's Cabrera, I mean, Aaron Hicks is still somehow actually getting at bats for this team.
Good under team. The unders are sweat free.
They've been the best under team in baseball through the first month of the season, and there's no reason to think, especially even without Rodon, good front line starting pitching. There's no reason to think that will not continue for the Yankees. Again, they took advantage of the Guardians, who are having all sorts of problems as well on the American League side. Will, let's go to the NBA. Obviously, the big news that came down early this morning, it looks like Joel Embiid is going to give it a go tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers. And, you know, Will, I'm a little surprised that this number's only moved 2.5. I would imagine as when Embiid is announced to be starting that this line will move a little bit further when it gets closer to game time. But it's just one of those now where you're on one side of the coin here or the other. Either that this price is now too short on Boston down to minus 130 to win the series, or, wow, Philly took game one and they're getting Embiid back. If they somehow win tonight, there's an outside shot that this series ends in Philadelphia without even coming back to Boston.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet. Look, I have I'm not a big trend guy, but when teams lose game one at home, I always just bet them as soon as the line opens game two, and usually you get great point spread value with that. I mean, look at the Knicks in game one. They opened minus 4.5 as soon as game one ended for game two, and it closed 10, and it landed right in the middle there at, I think it was 6. So I talked about Boston yesterday. I said you can't make this line high enough, but that was with the assumption Embiid wasn't going to play, and that was with the assumption that, hey, they'll probably try to monitor Harden's minutes. They have a game in pocket. With Embiid playing, like, if I had nothing in pocket here, man, I hate backing the team that's already won a game on the road, because we've seen it so many times. When you steal game one on the road, usually you get blown out in game two. So that's in the back of my head. But that being said, again, I don't want to contradict myself, which I'm going to do here. Like, if I had nothing in pocket, okay, you give Celtics a couple points for home court. You give them a couple points for the situation. It's hard to get to 7.5. I know they're a point or two better than the Sixers. It's hard to get to 7.5-point difference between these two teams. I guess the 2.5-point movement is suggesting that Embiid is back, but maybe not 100%, which I think is reasonable. I think the lesson from this, when you see a big news like this, like Embiid wasn't expected to play and he is going to play, I think the best way to attack it, the game line is always going to move and it's always going to move quickly. You got like 15, 30 seconds, sometimes not even that. Sometimes you get some of these secondary markets, the series price, the first quarter line, the first half line. Those are a little slower to move. So anytime you see big news like that, I think the common thought is to just attack the game. I think some of the secondary markets are a little slower to move, and sometimes that's the best way to attack it with this news.
Will, looking at I want to go to Denver and Phoenix here, because Chris Paul is listed as day-to-day. Obviously, we know those leg injuries with Paul. He probably isn't going to play in game three.
I think he's out a week. I think they said he's going to be reevaluated in a week.
Yeah, so Phoenix listed day-to-day, probably won't play, like you said, evaluated in a week. A little bit of conflicting reports over the last 24 hours on that. But look, even if Paul is there, he's not the same dude as we know. Phoenix is plus 340. Will, I have a nice Phoenix Western Conference ticket that I think is pretty much donezo at this point. But I think at this rate, Denver's a one seed who we just didn't give credit all year long to for whatever reason as being a legitimate title threat. But here they are up 2-0 on the pre-tournament betting favorites out of the West in Phoenix. And looking at, and again, I know the Lakers and Warriors are not your traditional six or seven seeds, but looking at potentially having home court against a six or a seven seed in the Western Conference final.
Yeah, and I was on, I forget what show I was on a few weeks ago, and somebody asked me for a sleeper in the West. I said, you know, it's a weird year because all the teams at the bottom of the bracket are live. We all agree they're live. We all agree it's wide open. The sleeper is sort of Denver, and I feel the same way. I think this series is completely over. Usually I wouldn't say that. We've seen it so many times where, all right, it's 2-0, it feels over, but the team going home for game three, they win. And then in game four, we see what happens and see if we have a series, if it's 2-2 or if it's 3-1 and it's over. I just think Denver gets minimum a split in Phoenix, and they finish it in five. I wouldn't be shocked if it's a sweep. I didn't think Phoenix had enough warm bodies with Chris Paul. Without Chris Paul, I mean, the troubling thing, you look at that box score the other day for Denver. Murray was 0-for-9 from three. Denver shot 25% from three. They had a lot of bad games from a lot of bad guys, from a lot of their main guys. And they still won the game by 10 points. So, look, I mean, Durant made a couple threes. Booker made a couple threes. Nobody else on Phoenix made a three-pointer. To me, this is I'm surprised Denver's getting points tomorrow. I know with the situation and everything. But that line opened five. I thought that was way too high. I think you can still get 3.5. I don't know if there's fours out there. I think Denver gets a minimum of a split here, and they win it in five. I think this series is over.
Phoenix had four bench points in game two. Four.
It's amazing.
Four. And it, if campaign has to slide into the lineup, you may be looking at two in game three. That just, again, they lack the depth. That is for sure there. Will, before we let you go, Lakers, of course, take game one from Golden State last night. Right now, Golden State is up to 5.5 in game two tomorrow night.
I would expect this to keep going up. This is another situation where you lose game one at home. Just bet the team in game two right away because there was 4.5 for like a split second last night, like 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. Creeped up to 5, 5.5. My guess is this closes 6, 6.5. The easiest thing in the world is to declare this series over. The Lakers won on the road. But we've seen this before. Warriors will probably win game two. I think we're headed for a long series. Warriors are more than capable of winning games on the road. I think they've got some ridiculous streak, 30 straight series where they've won a game on the road. So should be a long series, should be a fun series. I mean, you got to favor the Lakers a little bit because they won game one on the road. But I would not count until the Warriors lose four games and maybe even a fifth game. I'm not counting them out.
Maybe even a fifth game. Look, can't argue with that there. Will Hill, of course, recent contributor on the tweet said, not the Will Hill. Will, pleasure as always. Thanks for hopping on this morning.
Jeffrey, see you guys. See you, Kelly.
Good seeing you as always, Will. Hey, when we come back, we're going to the NFL. Some miss playoff odds to discuss next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and plenty more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Big thanks to Pritch and Will Hill. See, I knew I was going to say when I hadn't talked to Will in a while that that he was going to blame me for not talking to him. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen.
Don't you like those people that are always like, hey, you never call. Like, we never hang out. It's like, you never call me either. What
no,
are you talking
but
about?
No, but look, I will say this.
Or you've just been dodging Will Hill's text.
Well, I definitely have not been dodging Will Hill's text. at least not intentionally. Hey, look, Kelly, I only have a major life event in a little over 2 weeks. There's a lot going on around that. So
Yeah. Busy guy.
Very, very, very busy
yours
in that regard.
Whole 3 days a week, yeah.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Kelly. real thanks on that. All right. On that note, let's go to some big miss playoff odds. And we're going to start in the AFC. This is NFL, obviously. So let's go.
I grabbed all the tight ones.
Yeah, let's go to tight ones. You know, this is – so I looked at these numbers a little bit, and I did a double take on a few of them, Kelly.
I did too. It's kind of why I decided to include this today, because I thought some of these were interesting.
Yeah. So let's these are the tight ones. Buffalo, Kansas City, and Cincinnati, I would imagine, are just ridiculous, overwhelming favorites.
Yes. Yep.
You know what I'm going to say real quick? It's not long enough on the no price for Buffalo at +195, but if that price gets a little bit better, that might be worth it on the no because of that division now. Might, even though Buffalo will probably be a great regular season team again and then get beat in the playoffs. But these are that we just showed. Kelly, how's Jacksonville only -190 to make the playoffs?
I swear to you, that was...
How are they only -190?
So that was the biggest one that jumped out to me. Okay, let's real quick, regardless of odds,
yeah,
let's just go through teams that you... Because, like, the AFC is crazy,
it's
right?
Loaded,
NFC, this is going to be a little easier practice with.
Yeah.
The AFC, let's go through teams that you and I can hopefully agree on we think are in the playoffs, but maybe we don't already. Buffalo... See, I think they're in.
I think they will make it, but I don't think they're as big of a lock. I don't think they're a lock.
This is great. Okay, Bengals?
Yes. Assuming Burrow stays healthy, yes.
Chiefs?
Same deal. Mahomes stays healthy? Okay. And even if he doesn't, they still might get there because of that.
Do you feel confident, including anybody else, as you're for sure confident they're in the playoffs?
Yeah, I do. I include Jacksonville.
I include Jacksonville.
I think the division behind them... I know people are going to convince themselves that Indianapolis is going to be close to them. They're not. That roster's just not good enough yet. And who knows what you're getting out of Richardson if he starts week one. You can get some really bad play this year from Richardson if he plays right away. I don't think he should start week one. I think they should start Minshew week one, by the way, and bring Richardson in later in the year.
Okay.
And the other two teams just aren't good.
Now, what's the likelihood, though, do you think that the Jags make it into the playoffs without winning the division?
So that's the tricky part.
I don't think there's any way. So
I think it's very limited.
I was leading you into that, sorry. Matt Brown and I hit on some of these divisions yesterday, and I think that was the one that was our favorite division bet, was the Jags at -150. I don't think it's worth paying 40 extra cents for them to just to make a yes-no to make the playoffs, because I think their only way they're making it is if they win that division. I mean, like, let's... For them to make the playoffs and not win that division, it means of all those teams that you just talked about, one of them is somehow so good that Jacksonville finishes second in this division and still makes it as a wild card in an incredibly tough AFC.
So the only counter to that is, remember going into week 18 last year, if Josh Dobbs and the Titans had won, there was still an escape hatch potentially for Jacksonville. It was still there.
Mm-hmm.
If Pittsburgh had lost, Jacksonville would have been in anyway.
Right.
So it may not be as insane as we think. Now, I think it's extraordinarily unlikely with the way that the AFC lines up.
But yeah, it's just gotten tougher, though. That's the thing,
100%. Yeah. It's a much better – it was already very good as it was last year. It's a much better conference right now. Looking at the rest of those odds, Kelly, the one that they're – oh, man.
The problem is
there's only seven that can get in.
The point real quick with Jags is me and you both like them to make the playoffs.
Yes.
But would you agree just go bet the division price?
Yeah, I think take the 40 less cents and lay the division and -150. I think that's fine because too much has to happen. They're a playoff roster. They are, assuming Rodgers is motivated, which I think he will be. The problem is they have a brutal schedule, even though they have a last-place schedule. And I think it's – Kelly, this may sound ridiculous, but the sequencing of their schedule is going to be important. It's going to be important.
How do you mean?
They need the soft part of it to be early as opposed to late. Now, the thing is with them last year, we thought the soft part was late and we thought the hard part was early. And it ended up being totally reversed, where the schedule was harder at the end. Granted, the Jets didn't score a touchdown the last 3 weeks of the season. And the early part of the schedule, they were able to handle very well. I mean, if you told me they were 6-3 going into the bye last year, I thought, oh, they might actually make the playoffs, and that's what they were. And they, of course, go 7-10. I think they do make it, but I don't want to lay -130. The rest of this board,
I'm with you on that. Yeah. I'm with you on that. I think they make it, but I'm not.
I'm not confident enough to lay it.
Me either.
Baltimore, same deal.
And
yeah, I don't want to lay a price with Baltimore making the playoffs.
I think this is the same thing that, and yeah, I'll probably include the Ravens with this too, Jeff, where it's the, look, like we bring this up every year. There is no reason you need to fire on this before the season starts, especially when we don't know the schedule yet, like you're talking about, right, Jeff? Like if the Jets get loaded up with a tough part of their front schedule, okay, maybe you want to bet them to make the playoffs, so you get a much better price after they get through that portion of the schedule.
Yeah, hey, look, you're going to get better prices on a lot of these teams in the middle of the season.
Well, I think almost everybody in the AFC East, you can say that about, right?
Yeah.
That division is going to be tough.
Kelly, I think Miami's winning the AFC East if Tua stays healthy.
Well, you know what? Clearly you hate Buffalo. I don't hate Buffalo as much as you. You like the blanket statement I just put on it. You hate Buffalo. clearly I don't hate them as much as you do. But I think the Dolphins are way more live than what, I don't know, people are seemingly talking.
The Dolphins should be the second favorite in the division, not the Jets.
Wow, I agree, Jeff.
I get why the Jets are shorter. I get it. You have a fan base that is going to bet them blindly. I have actually no Jet futures, thankfully, as of right now. But Miami, if Tua stays healthy... And now at least they have Mike White, who Mike White's better than Teddy Bridgewater at that point of his career, and he's clearly better than Skylar Thompson. So Miami might be able to withstand a multiple-game Tua absence a little bit better than they did last year. But -120 to make the playoffs, 3-1 or so to win the division is pretty juicy on the Dolphins if they continue to go up from what they were last year. The Chargers, I don't know what to do with them. You have Justin Herbert. You probably shouldn't be a coin flip to make the playoffs with Justin Herbert. But that is going to come down to, is Kellen Moore as good as some think he is as an offensive coordinator? Lombardi as bad as everyone thought he was?
And can these, can these wide receivers stay healthy, right?
Well, they have a lot of them now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Is Austin Eckler going to be there, I guess?
Yes, he will be.
I think he was too. But,
he will be.
That's a team that I think I just got to see it first. Like, I'm not willing to bet on it happening until I see them actually in the playoffs in the mix with this loaded AFC as it is. So I think that's an easy one for me to pass on.
If you made me go 7 playoff teams right now, Pittsburgh is a juicy price, but I don't think I can get there yet.
Nope, they're not making it.
That's one of those where they could get off to a bad start and you get a big-time price if you wanted to in the middle of the season.
I'm not betting the no. I'm not betting the no now, Jeff, but I might be betting the no at some point.
If they get a good price, if they get off to a good start, you could go the other way and bet it at a better price.
I'm also not trying to hate on the Steelers too much. I think they'll be a slightly better team than they were last year, but that division's loaded. You've got Lamar coming back now. Who knows what you're going to get out of Deshaun Watson in a full season with the Browns?
Last place.
I think it's really tough to ask the Steelers to be any better than they were last year, which they were finished 9-8.
If you made me pick the 7 playoff teams right now, Kelly in the AFC.
Yeah, rapid fire. Let's go.
Buffalo, Miami, New York, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Kansas City, and the Chargers. Those would be the 7. That's what I would have.
Okay.
Where Baltimore is the one that slides out.
I have the Ravens in there. I don't know who I'd replace them with, though. Probably the Chargers.
It's to me, the Chargers are the most complexing of them all.
Because
you have the top 5 quarterback, you have a bad head coach, but you clearly improved at offensive coordinator. Is that improvement enough to vault the Chargers? It very well may be when it's all said and done. Hey, when we come back, we're going to wrap the show. Maybe a little more NBA as well. When we come back, a numbers game, Visa.
A numbers game on Visa, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that can be redeemed online for bonus credits like bonus bets, bet insurance tokens, and more. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that can be used towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM properties located on the Las Vegas Strip nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM today or log on to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. And a Kelly Bidlin special on the pro tip today, guys. Bidlin special.
There you go.
We knew the Lakers would have a rest advantage heading into last night's game one. So look for this series to balance out moving forward. And there could be some value on a Warriors series bet. That is a Kelly Bidlin betting tip. That is not a Jeff Parles betting tip. Is that fair?
Screwed up there.
That's all good.
No, yeah, I bet the Lakers game one. I do like the Warriors overall in this series. So I thought that was going to be – you laid it out earlier, Jeff. I think that was going to be a tight turnaround for Golden State to play that game last night. Still played pretty well. Look, I bet them for game two, like Will talked about. I did lay the 4.5 last night when it opened. I do think I'm going to get involved in the series price. I haven't made the bet yet. The Lakers were pretty impressive last night, though, with the Warriors shooting still over 40% from three.
What were your thoughts on Jordan Poole's shot last night, Kelly? It wasn't rhythm. It was deep, but it wasn't rhythm.
I didn't have a huge problem with it. Let me put it this way. I didn't have nearly as much of an issue with it as seemingly everybody else in the world did. I like you said, it was in rhythm. It's a shot we've seen Jordan Poole hit a million times. Of course, you'd ideally like a better shot. I think he could have taken one step forward and still gotten that shot off pretty clean, but I don't hate it, man. I really don't. I think he's getting killed over that too much today.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that.
There's other things you could kill Jordan Poole on more in that game than that shot.
Correct.
And that would just be his horrible lack of defensive ability.
Kelly, let's go back to some more make-miss playoff odds because we have the NFC side. And you know what? These numbers are wild, too, to me. I understand, and let's look at this real quick. I understand why the New Orleans Saints are what they are at minus 195. I understand it. There is absolutely no chance that you can possibly lay a yes price on them. No chance. Because, Kelly, even though they're right, look, that division is – it's an abomination. There's no other word for it. That division is an abomination on paper going into the year. It very easily, it should be the worst division we've seen in football in a long time. Should be. Now, granted, we thought the AFC West was going to be the greatest division of all time, and it ended up being a Kansas City demolition derby when it was all said and done last year. But you're talking about a team coached by Dennis Allen almost being a $2 favorite to make the playoffs? I don't care that the other teams in that division stink. That number's off. And I would actually take a no price at plus 165 on New Orleans before I would do anything else.
I definitely would, actually. That was one of the biggest ones that jumped out to me, Jeff, was actually the no on New Orleans. I think that – so this is another one. We could go through this exercise, but I don't think how much weaker the NFC is than the AFC, I still think – like you got to win that division, and I don't think that. I mean, I think there's enough variance, enough stuff that could happen in this season that the Saints don't win that division. For as many times as the odds indicate that they should. So, I'm with you. I think a no price there is what I'd probably be betting, and I might end up betting that.
The Saints, by the way, plus 110 to win the NFC South right now. Minus 195 to just make the playoffs altogether. Now, it's not like the AFC South where the margin of being able to get a wild card is basically slim and none. There's plenty of margin to get a wild card because this NFC playoff picture is a mess going into this year. Dallas is a minus 180. I don't love the Cowboys going into this year, but I actually think that is a pretty reasonable price, assuming Dak stays upward. There are questions, obviously, with the offensive play calling now in Dallas, but that team just has too much talent in this conference to miss the playoffs.
I completely agree. So those two right at the top, I find interesting for both the opposite ends, right? It would be no on New Orleans and yes on Dallas. As flawed as I think that team is, right? It's
too much talent.
You coming up with that many better teams in the NFC than them?
You're not. It's a horrible conference. It really is. I know the Lions are the betting favorites in the NFC North, and they probably should be. But if you're going to give me plus 140 on the no, I think I'd have to take a bite of that one as well. The only problem is, who is winning that division if it's not them? Minnesota's going to have the biggest regression monster of all time, we think. And the Bears roster's still not good enough. I'd rather have Green Bay than Chicago, in all honesty, in that division. Not that I like the Packers at all, but I'd rather have a price on Green Bay than Chicago. And then the rest of this board, by the way, Packers 5-1 to win the NFC North. You know what, Kelly? I am probably going to end up with that in my pocket, and I am going to not like myself when Jordan Love looks awful and they're 1-5 getting into week 7.
Yeah, we talked about it quick yesterday. I think on those prices, I would be on the Vikings again this year. I understand the regression.
Not scared of the regression monster.
I know.
Do you think that's going to be talked about at all going into the season?
Yeah, I think probably a little bit. But, like, yes, like, I'm getting a plus price on a yes for them to make the playoffs. Like, that –
There's still a whole bunch of talent, even with how lucky they were a year ago. The only other thing I will say on this board that is intriguing, the fact that the Seahawks are a flip is wild to me. They should be where Dallas is at this point in the pricing. Because that roster, here's the deal. The question mark with them is, what is Geno Smith, what he was early in the year, or is he what he was by the end of the year?
Exactly.
Which, if he's closer to what he was at the end of the year, then that should be a flip. But the way that they have built that roster out now, and they had an amazing draft. And they get the best corner, so they now have an elite corner duo, assuming Witherspoon comes in and is good, which I think he will be. And they got the number one wide receiver in the draft in Smith and Jigba. How are you covering Smith and Jigba, Lockett, and Metcalf? How are you covering those dudes if Geno Smith is actually good? And if Geno is good, Kelly, their price to win the NFC West, where did it go?
Like two and a half.
It was 225 plus 225. With those quarterbacking questions, to put it politely, in San Francisco, Seattle is alive to win that division if Geno is competent this year.
We were talking about a bit about this yesterday, but, man, I think – if I had to make a bet in that division, it'd be on the Rams. I'd actually just swing on the
– There we go, yes.
Swing the fences on the Rams coming back into form a little bit. But I think you nailed it with Seattle. But it's because I have that question mark still in my head, as small as it might be, about Geno, I'm not running to bet that yet.
If Matthew Stafford comes back and is healthy, there is a chance for the Rams. Now, the problem is they have – Kelly, when you're at the top of the league in dead cap, that usually means you're not going to be any good.
Yes.
But at 6-1, you could talk me into it.
I think it's a good flyer. It's a good flyer.
Yeah. And again, remember, you were talking about an NFC that is a disaster. A disaster. What if the Rams would just make the playoffs?
They are plus 225. I was just looking at that.
That's not a bad one either.
I don't think it is either.
And again, could the Rams go 6-11? Sure. Could Stafford get hurt and they – who's even their backup quarterback now?
Oh, God, good question.
Who's even their backup? Because Wolford's gone.
They got Stetson.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's good. That's good. That's exactly what you want.
Future Super Bowl Stetson Bennett
playing potentially if Stafford's hurt.
Yeah, right? That's where he went, right?
Yeah, Stetson got drafted by them. It's probably technically Perkins right now, according to depth charts, would be my guess. But that's a problem also. So we'll see. All right, Kelly, before we go, I have no thoughts on either hockey game tonight, Devils and Canes. Canes a slight favorite at home in game one against New Jersey, Oilers and VGK. No thoughts on either of those games. I do like the Devils to win that series against the Canes. I have no bets on VGK and Edmonton. Edmonton is clearly better, but they're not trustworthy in the playoffs. And then tonight in Boston, I'm not going to bet it at all, but that feels like a really good in-game game where you could probably get a discount in-game on Boston, or you could end up with even higher than that original 10 on Philadelphia if the situation is right.
Yeah, I think if you're betting now, you got to wait for a little bit more information on what Embiid's, you know, full status, minutes, limitations, if there's going to be any of that, if we hear any of that before the game. I don't know. I bet the under on it when it opened. I wouldn't do that now that Embiid's in the game. I think we're talking about this game tonight. You got to wait and see for some more information.
That's all the time we have here on A Numbers Game. The Lombardi Line is next.